With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to Cats by 90, a podcast dedicated to you, the Big Blue Nation. Basketball, football, and the latest recruiting news. If it's Kentucky sports, then it's here on Cats by 90. Now, from SB Nation's A Sea of Blue, your hosts, Big Blue Drew and Aaron Gershon.
Welcome to episode 3 of SB Nation's A Sea of Blue, Cats by 90. Drew Brown and Aaron Gershon on kind of a rare late night game day episode. Aaron, I know you've had a long day. I have as well. Did you make it out of Kroger Field, my man?
I had a great time, man. We'll get into the game in a minute, but first of all, it was just good to be back. I mean, it was just good to be back, have some football, you know, not just a spring game, have bodies flying around. And I thought better crowd than I expected, pretty good student section. And there's definitely a lot to clean up, but a lot to like as well.
Yeah, my hopes with kind of this quick pod, so what, it's a Saturday night, 9:45 at night. So Kentucky beats Toledo today, 38-24, and kind of, I guess, a game that we all kind of expected it to go that way. Maybe
let me break slow for a second on Big Blue Insider. My prediction was 38-28, so I was pretty dang close. I got to gloat real quick. Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's understandable. Well done. But I was just kind of getting at is, you know, I think by now most of the listeners have probably already heard kind of the takes of the game. They watched the game. They did all that. So my hope was maybe we could provide a little just insight, sights and sound with boots on the ground at Kroger Field and, you know, maybe just look ahead a little bit to Eastern Michigan. But before we do that, though, Aaron, I did want to shout out. So Cats by 90, we did do our first ticket giveaway. And Ryan Sergeant, if you got on the page, he went to the game. Looks like he took his girl. They had a good time. They overcame the heat. It was extremely hot. But shout out to him because he repped the BBN well on a really warm day. But even before that, though, Aaron, so I feel like we got to give some insight just kind of on where the Cats by 90 crew's at right now, because I know you had a long day. You basically put in a 10-hour day at the field, and then I'm on about – so it's almost 10, so I'm getting up at 3 a.m. Right. Driving to Cincinnati for my fantasy football draft in Florida. I think I mentioned that last week. So some hardcore football dedication
to fly into a hurricane for you, man. How's the forecast looking where you're going?
So it's looking good, man. We're out of the cone, so that's kind of what I was looking for. I think it's going to miss the east coast of Florida. Right. I'll actually be down south, closer to Naples on the west coast. So play ball, man. We're going. I'm flying in. Early, I'll be there early Sunday morning, leaving early Monday morning, business trip, just getting my draft done. And just awesome, though. You mentioned it earlier, like just football was back. The smell was in the air. The feel was in the air. It was awesome to see, you know, all of our buddies from the media and just kind of get back into the swing of actual sports. And I was going to ask you that too, Aaron, because you probably would know better than me, because I'll be honest, I kind of thought the pregame atmosphere, even with it being a noon game, was kind of weak, I guess. I know the crowd was really sparse at first. It filled in. It looked like it was going to be a complete disaster there about 15 minutes before kickoff, and it did fill in. But I don't know. I just didn't feel as strong a buzz as I guess I was anticipating.
I think my expectations were high for a while, but then, you know, the KSR report came out a little earlier when they dug up saying it wasn't going to be a sellout. And then you had Mark Stoops make the comment on Thursday, his presser, that he was a little disappointed. And that, to me, I kind of lowered the expectations. And then I don't know if you made the same observation, but walking from the parking lot, there wasn't many cars in the lot. I know it was pretty early by the time you and I pulled up, probably definitely in the 9 o'clock hour for both of us. But it was a little weak toward the beginning of the game, but it did fill in. And, you know, also, you know, for the people who weren't there, that doesn't mean they're not fans. It's a noon game. It was hot as all hell. For the folks of Southwestern Kentucky and Eastern Kentucky, I mean, you got to get up really early to get on the road and go to this game. So maybe it'll be, I know next week, not a great opponent, Eastern Michigan, as you mentioned, but maybe it'll be a little better. But I think all this will be forgotten when they take on Florida in 14 days.
Yeah, and I said all week, or really all month, that to me nothing mattered. Just get a win, especially they covered the spread. Didn't really matter how it looked, anything. There's time to clean up, and kind of everything's just culminating to this collision course with Florida here in a few weeks, and they'll have another chance to tune up with Eastern Michigan. But the heat, man, was something else. I was on the field up until about 15 minutes before kickoff, and I mean, Aaron, zero damn breeze. It was blistering hot, and it wasn't even noon at that point. So I did not venture back down there. So I can't even imagine at, 3:30, the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's why you saw a lot of guys cramp up, too. Then, Lynn cramped up. Who else went down? Corker cramped up, and Bohanna, too.
Yeah, you did definitely notice a lot of players just in general, exhausted, I think, towards the end, and probably really helped Kentucky now that we're talking about it. I think, because you'd have to assume they have a little bit more depth and, they're a little bit more physically imposing, so just wearing down a little bit. And to me, the story of the game, I think it could really actually go a lot of places, but I guess we can start with the fact that after the first drive, man, it looked a little shaky. I think the secondary gave up the first time they were tested, like a 39-yard pass play. Toledo scores in the blink of an eye. It's kind of like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
It settled in.
It was absolutely a nerve-wracking start. It looked like it was going to be, a complete and utter disaster, honestly. I didn't really get too worried just because, it was the nerves, first drive of the season. But, yeah, the first Toledo drive was effortless. I mean, under 3 minutes, they find the end zone. And then, Kentucky goes three and out in really an ugly fashion. You have a false start penalty and all that. But the defense was able to come back and get a stop, and it gave the offense time to, get their game going. What was great about the defense, I thought, in the first half, in the second half, it was obviously almost all good, but in the first half, is they bended, but they didn't break. They never let their offense fall behind by two possessions. They kept it within one possession the whole game. They got the stops when they needed to. And oftentimes, Toledo was able to get over the 50-yard line, but Kentucky was able to keep them out of field goal range and that first half. And I thought, for a young secondary, pretty young defense as a whole, I thought that was pretty dang impressive.
I mean, you can make a legitimate argument that the MVP of Kentucky's first game was Max Duffy, the punter.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just 52 yards per punt on six punts. And it's not like, too, what amazed me, Aaron, it wasn't like, he just had one crazy bouncer go 68 yards to kind of skew that stat. I mean, he was booting it 50 yards time after time after time. And that field, it was kind of, even though it was a pretty high scoring game, 38 to 24, it really was a game of field position because Toledo was pinning Kentucky too. But I think without Max Duffy's effort and then Chance Poor too, connected on a 46-yard field goal.
Absolutely.
Could have been a totally different game.
Oh, my God. Max
Duffy.
Big shout
out to the special teams.
He was the runner up for the MVP of the game. You probably already know who I'm talking about. We'll get to him later. But Duffy was phenomenal. You can't say more than, it was just unbelievable. He flipped the field position every time. And that's huge. And that takes so much pressure off a young secondary. That's just, they could use every advantage they can get. They need as much green behind them as possible. And he was able to provide that in really impressive fashion. And it was a huge factor today, for sure. No doubt.
He definitely jumped the gun a little bit there on the MVP talks, though, Aaron. As great as Max Duffy was pinning Toledo, inside the 20 so many times, DeAndre Square was the best player on the football field today. He was just an absolute monster. I mean, watching him from the press box just cover sideline to sideline was impressive. I think he had 11 tackles, and I'm sure that he had 11 tackles with like 13 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I mean, he just did so much damage.
Yeah, he was unbelievable today. He really was. And Josh Moore of the Herald Leader is a great guy, by the way. I don't know if you've met him yet, but he's the new Jen Smith of the Herald Leader, Kentucky beat writer. But anyway, he put out a tweet saying, I want to say that DeAndre had 15 tackles all of last year. And he had, so this is saying 9 total tackles today. I thought he had 11, but
I'm pretty sure it was 11.
His
progression has kind of been naturally going that way because he gets his first start last year in the Citrus Bowl. And it's just, I wrote a profile on him this summer, and it was just, all signs were pointing to him having a big year. And I think if, game one's any indication, he's going to be the anchor of that defense, even with some of the talent that they have, because I mean, he just has a nose for the ball. His helmet is on the football every play, it seems like.
Yeah, you're right. 11 total tackles, 7 solos, a half a sack, half a tackle and a half for a loss. And oh yeah, he had an interception. That was unbelievable too. I mean, he tipped it and was able to bring it back in. Amazing concentration. Yeah, I mean, you know what? Josh Allen is not replaceable, and obviously Square plays a different position, but what you can find is a new leader on the defense. And, you know, there's a lot of question marks. Who's that going to be this year? And, you know, a lot of people thought it was going to be Devontae Robinson, not just in the secondary, but really it's in the defense as a whole. I mean, outside of Cash Daniel, that is, we all know he's a great leader, but you kind of need just kind of that playmaker, because as good as Cash is, he's more a, you know, go out and do his thing. He's not a flashy playmaker like Josh Allen was. And I think today we learned DeAndre Square surely has the potential to be just that.
Yeah, and then the secondary held up, man. You know, they did what they were supposed to do. That first drive looked a little worrisome. And then I think, you know, they ended up, I think, holding them around 160, 180 yards passing. So the quarterback was getting loose a little bit. That's something they'll probably have to tighten up, just kind of locating the quarterback when he's scrambling. But overall, I mean, you can't really complain with all the question marks that came in. Brandon Echols played great. I think that's a player that you're probably going to, you know, see getting a lot more opportunities.
Yeah,
now.
He definitely took Jamari Brown. He definitely took his job. I mean, no doubt about it. Jamari was getting burnt a lot. And I don't know if I shared this on here, but Jamari made a really bold statement saying that they were going to hold Toledo under 50 yards and not allow them to score. You just can't say that. And you know what? To their credit, no passing touchdowns from Toledo today.
Yep.
But yeah, you just can't say that. And he didn't really, you know, if you talk the talk and walk the walk, that's one thing. And he didn't do that. But Brandon, wow, he was outstanding, really outstanding. And they needed someone to emerge. And I thought Cedric Dort on the other side played a pretty good game too. He had a really nice pass breakup on one that I thought was a easy completion, and he just kind of faded back in coverage and made a really nice play. So overall, you got to be pretty happy with this secondary for their first game against a really good offense in Toledo. And, you know, they were able to hold their ground for the most part. Definitely enough to get the win, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much best case scenario from a defensive perspective. And
yeah,
I don't think there'll be anyone upset with that performance coming off all the questions that, you know, remained this summer. But then offensively too, man, I mean, you could kind of go either way. You could say Lynn Bowden didn't play great. He fumbled the ball. Chris Rodriguez had 2 fumbles. One was just awful.
Yeah.
Kentucky has a 97. Yeah. How about this too, Aaron, for the first points of the 2019 season?
I know.
Kentucky has a 97 yard drive and a fumble recovery in the end zone.
I asked Justin Rigg after the game. I said, my question was, is that how you drew up your first, I believe that was his first career touchdown. And
I would think so. Yeah.
I didn't phrase it like that. I phrased it, is that how you drew up the first touchdown of the season? He's like, he kind of just laughed. He's like, I'll have a better one, but I'll take it. But, yeah, no, that was something else. And you know, looking at the replay, I'm still kind of confused. It kind of looks like he broke the plane, but still in the stats, it counts as a fumble. And he had a couple of those today, and Lynn had a fumble. And like you said, you know, Lynn Bowden didn't have his best game, but he still was able to bring in 77 yards receiving and
made exactly
one hell of a catch too, and a couple of plays in traffic. So he still found a way to affect the game. He obviously did have the fumble. Coach Stoops said after the game, I don't know if you remember the punt return where he kind of just looked lost. He said he said he didn't want to make an excuse for Lynn, but Lynn was dealing with some dehydration when that happened, so he thinks he was a little disoriented. Again, he said, he made sure he said it multiple times, not making an excuse, but maybe that was part of it. But Lynn is such a good player that despite not being on his game today, he still found a way to affect the game in a positive way.
I did hear Stoops in the post game. He was not happy with ball security. I think specifically at Chris Rodriguez.
No.
He mentioned, you know, multiple times a player fumbling the ball twice. So that's tough for him too, because I think, you know, he's supposed to be that kind of in the trenches running back, and he's going to have to kind of prove that he's not going to fumble the ball again. But that's kind of, so we kind of hit on some stuff, some of the left to be desired type things. But then you break it down. Terry Wilson didn't have any turnovers. He threw for the offense had 422 yards, 20 first downs, put 38 points on the board, and they definitely by no means were clicking on all cylinders.
I thought the most impressive thing is two of their touchdown drives were 90-plus yard drives. You had the 97-yard drive to take you out of the 7-0 hole, which I thought was unbelievably impressive, and then I believe they had a 92-yard drive. So some really impressive drives, and I asked Mark Stoops after the game about the running back trio as a whole. And like you mentioned, he wasn't happy. And I think mainly that anger was at Chris Rodriguez, but he's not going to go out there and, you know, roast a guy in front of the media. But Kavosiy Smoke, wow. I mean, that 40-yard touchdown, pretty electric. He finishes as the leading rusher, 778. AJ Rose, 16 for 64 and a touchdown. And Terry Wilson, by the way, he had to do it all with his arm today. Do you know how many yards he had on the ground today? One.
Oh, wow.
So not much. So it was all his arm today, 246 yards for him. So
I noticed multiple times, though, we talked about it a little bit, that you know, you were watching Terry Wilson go through one progression, two progression, before ultimately making a decision. And usually it was the right decision. He had a couple overthrows, but, you know, that's what you want to see from, you know, a still relatively young quarterback like Terry Wilson, is not turning the ball over. And if your offensive player is not going to catch it, don't let the defense catch it. Yeah. So again, I thought nothing but really positive things you can say about him, because I think with Terry, you know, it's always going to be determined by, is he turning the ball over or not? And there was so many times too, Aaron, like up at press box level, where you could just see AJ Rose. I mean, he just needs, man, just a hairline and he's gone. Yeah. And there was a few times when he just had half a tackle to beat, or he would have broke a big run. So I expect this week, and definitely in the coming weeks, for AJ Rose to bust a long run for a touchdown, probably like 50-plus yards.
Absolutely.
Sure.
He still got one today. And, Terry, like you mentioned, especially in the second half, he did a good job of just getting rid of the ones that no one was open. The first half, there were a couple of close calls. But overall, I was pretty happy with him today. And I was also really happy with the receivers not named Lynn Bowden. Bryce Oliver, a hell of a catch in the end zone. Ahmad, I draw pass interference. Wagner.
Oh my gosh! Can we please talk about that? How is this even possible? He actually had today more receptions than pass interference calls, which is not typical. But it's bizarre, man. And it's like, I have to go back and watch some replays of that and see if like he runs back into the defender, or if it's just that he's just that big and they can't, you know, they can't do anything but interfere with him. But it's utterly amazing at this point.
It really is. And he's such a matchup nightmare. And he plays, remember, he's an ex basketball player at Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
So he plays aggressive and he's tough. And, you know, people are just trying to yank at him. And, you know, every single call he's drawn is pretty like an accurate call. It's not even a questionable call. And by the way, notice how we didn't have to talk much about the refs. I thought the refs had a pretty damn good game. I mean,
man, that was a great point. I know I don't ever, especially basketball is obviously the worst, but yeah, that's a really good point. I guess the only point of contention might be, and I heard, is the Chris Oates ejection.
Right. I looked at the highlight multiple. I think they got it right.
I said live and initial on the replay that, you know, by the definition of targeting, that I agree that I thought it was targeting and it sucks. Do you know if that's reviewable, or is he automatically going to be out? For the first half,
he's automatically out. So they review the play after every targeting. They review the play, and if it's confirmed, it's final. So he's out for the first half next week. Which, you know,
okay. So there's no review after the on-field review.
Yeah. Then. So he's host for the first half.
Right. Damn.
But you know what? It'll be. I thought he had a pretty good game until then. By the way, but I think it'll be fine. You know, and the reason they didn't call, which at first I was like, oh boy. I don't know if you remember the Jamon Davis one where they called a face mask, but they didn't call him for targeting at the end when he kind of slashed through the middle for that sack toward the end of the game. They didn't call targeting, and I thought that was a good call too because he had his arms wrapped. So, you know, one of my dad's best friends is an MLB umpire, so whenever officials have good games, I want to give them credit, and they had a good game. Didn't affect the game at all.
Yeah, well, you're spot on with your analysis, because when you ask them, like when you don't remember talking about them, that's exactly,
referee
and umpire's job is to not know and, you know, blend in. So good point. Great stuff there. But really cool, just in general, I said, I can just hear the excitement in our voice, Aaron. It's so nice just for football to be back, even though it's been the most garbage day of football. And SEC East, dude? They're getting embarrassed.
Are you following the Missouri Tigers right now?
No, I didn't even watch that one.
Third quarter, 4 minutes to go in the third. Wyoming 34, Mizzou 17.
Oh my! You know, I thought that when I was driving home, I heard that they were. I found it kind of unique that they traveled to Wyoming for their season opener.
That was something else. I think.
Oh my gosh, this is getting ridiculous. Then, so did you see? So absolutely hilarious. If any of the listeners or you haven't heard about this yet, Aaron, but did you see where the University of Tennessee Twitter account just pretty much was like live tweeting the whole game, and then just when it started looking bleak, they just totally stopped. Started ghosting, so they're absolutely getting torched online now. Their last tweet was like when Tennessee was up 3, and they haven't tweeted since.
I mean, yeah, I see that right now. You know, you want to see the SEC do well, but this is good for UK because, I mean, Georgia's going to win the division. I think we agree. I think the whole world knows it. But UK has a really damn good chance of coming second again. I really think that's going to be between them and the Gators at this point. I've been stuck between Mizzou, but man, they don't look good. And you know what? Mississippi State, we play obviously. They didn't look good either. They only won by 10 against Louisiana Lafayette. And on the other side of the SEC, the SEC as a whole, Auburn's getting pounded right now. Ole Miss, they put up.
Alabama even struggled. Yeah. Alabama was, I think it was 0-0 at the end of the first quarter there. And so it's been a wild day. What about another kind of funny story?
Ole Miss was down 13-0 all game. They lost to Memphis football, not basketball, 15-10.
Yep. I saw that too. Yeah, it's been an ugly day for the SEC. But did you happen to see like the video or the pictures of this Vanderbilt Stadium playing Georgia tonight? Have you seen this? It's the most unbelievable thing ever. It has to be 95% Georgia fans, and it's like 80% capacity. It's incredible to see the video.
Yeah, it's kind of pathetic, and that's how it is whenever UK plays there. But Georgia, I mean, obviously they're a football school first, and their fan. It's not a far ride, and man, that sucks for Vanderbilt. It's a bad look. It really is a bad look.
So just an absolutely wild day in college football, specifically the SEC and more specifically the SEC East. So bodes well for Kentucky long term. You know, I think I'd rather have the league doing well, but at the same time, if everybody but Georgia sucks, that's going to be better for Kentucky in the long haul. So great to have college football back, man. Cats by 90 podcast was getting tons of love at Kroger Field today. So I appreciate everybody. It was great seeing, people from the media, friends, all fans. Ryan Sargent, congratulations on going to the game. And also some cool stuff coming up. I finally got another verbal confirmation, so we will hopefully be able to get the guys from Kentucky Roll Call, Nick Roush and TJ Walker, on for a little behind the scenes. Just look at the media in general and those two guys. I think they're people that, pretty much everyone in the BBN follows and stuff. So I'm really pumped about that. It was just great to have some football back. And Eastern Michigan, man, I don't want to really get into the preview because we'll do that this week, but that's going to be they're going to have to play too. I don't know if you saw him, but today their quarterback, Mike Glass III, went 20 for 22 for 188 and 3 touchdowns. Their defense had 4 interceptions, and they got off to a slow start as well, but ended up beating Coastal Carolina. So second week in a row, Kentucky will have a MAC opponent. So they'll have to bring it again, and I'm hyped for some football, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
Yes, absolutely. And real quick on next week, I mean, they just can't look ahead to Florida yet. They got to focus one week at a time. And if they do that, they're going to beat them.
I agree. All right, Aaron. Well, I know you're tired, man. You've put a long day in, so get some rest. And God bless my fantasy draft tomorrow, and I will talk to you soon.
Be safe, man. Be safe in there.
And everybody give Cats by 90 a follow at Cats by 90. Drew Brown and Aaron Gershon signing off. We will talk to everyone soon.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow Cats by 90 on Twitter at Cats by 90. You can also follow Aaron and Drew at AGershon99 and at BigBlueDrew33. And remember, no matter the opponent, it's always Cats by 90.